Now for the worship service of our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM Port Huron.
Well, Jeremy, that was good. You could stop on a dime. We welcome you from our Savior Lutheran. Good morning.
Good morning.
And we'll do our 7-week recitation. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. For those on radio, WPHM, simulcast, or later pick up through podcast, WPHM.net. We greet you, worshiping here at our Savior Port Huron, Michigan, on this, the second Sunday of Easter on April 8th. I'm glad you're with us as we again look at the scriptures each week of the 7 weeks, speaking about the appearances of the Lord Jesus, as well as what does this mean in the life of a believer. So the lessons will reflect that. We thank Henry and Linda Kettles for the broadcast sponsorship for this day. Greatly appreciate all of those who sponsor our weekly broadcast. And we welcome you for our worship. Remind those who may be at home listening to this broadcast, we have a Board of Education Youth Committee meeting at 9:30 after this service. So we'll be down in the hallway classroom for the meeting to do our business. Also remind those in-house who are coming to the Easter egg hunt, it will be taking place after the 11 a.m. service. If you have eggs at home to bring for us, please do. Our supply did not come in as strong as it has in previous years, and it's always a guess how many young people you're gonna get. So it's a catch or catch can. So if you are bringing in eggs, greatly appreciated, and to add to our supply to distribute to the children of this congregation and grandchildren. Our worship service begins on page 1. During the Sundays of Easter, instead of a confession of sin, we do what's called a thanksgiving for baptism. Okay? If you know the history of the church, baptism became a primary focus for Easter. And many times people would use the Lenten time to study in preparation as a catechumen, study of the catechism, the faith, in preparation for Easter sunrise baptism. So keeping in the tradition that Easter is about new life and about baptism, we proceed. If you'll please rise. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed, hallelujah. And just as God's work of creation never ends, so the gifts received in baptism are renewed every day. Let us give thanks together for the life given in our baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for the waters of life, for water to bathe in, water to drink, for waters to play in, waters that inspire wonder, for the water that gives life to our planet. We give you thanks, O God, for the waters of life. We give you thanks, O God, for the waters of this place, for the water from our tap, for rain and even snow, for the local water sources through the River of St. Clair, through the Lake of Huron. We give you thanks, O God, for the waters of this place. We give you thanks for your salvation through the water, for delivering Noah and his family through the flood waters, for leading your people Israel through the sea into freedom, for preserving your prophet Elijah through the time of drought, for guiding your people across the Jordan into a new land, for quenching the Samaritan woman's thirst for living water. We give you thanks for your salvation through water. We give you thanks for the life of all the baptized, for all who gather here, for godparents, baptismal sponsors, for children, for grandchildren, for our brothers and sisters in Christ whom we have never seen, but to whom we are bound. We give thanks for the life of all the baptized. We give you thanks for life in Christ through your Holy Spirit, for our entry into Jesus' death through these waters, for our new birth into a life of freedom, a life of service, for our calling to be your people sent out for the life of this world. We give you thanks, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever. Amen. Our entrance hymn this day is Jesus Christ is risen today. Hallelujah. We sing. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Hymn of praise, beautiful Savior, verses 1 and 4 for this Eastertide.
Thank you.
Let us pray. If you join me, page 6, with a prayer for this day. Almighty God, with joy we celebrate the day of our Lord's resurrection. By the grace of Christ among us, enable us to show the power of the resurrection in all that we say and do. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. If you'll please be seated, we have the first reading for the day.
Good morning.
Good morning, Katie.
The first reading for this day is from Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 35. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as if any had need. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you. Psalm of the day is Psalm 133. The antiphon is already included in your responses at the appropriate times. But it is the words, how good and pleasant it is to live together in unity. So we begin. How good and how pleasant it is when kindred can live together in unity. It is like fine oil upon the head, flowing down upon the beard of Aaron, flowing down upon the collar of his robe. How good and pleasant it is to live together in unity. It's like the dew of Hermon flowing down upon the hills of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. How good and pleasant it is to live together in unity. And we have our second reading.
Second reading comes from 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, chapter 2 and verse 2. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testify to it, and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
If you're able to stand for the gospel and the acclamation, please rise. We're on page 9. If you'll speak with me, Alleluia. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Alleluia. The gospel for this second Sunday of Easter from John, the 20th chapter, beginning with verse 19. Glory to you, Lord. Now, when it was evening on that day, that is the first day of the week, the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and he stood among them and he said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands, his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace I be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them. He said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12 of the original disciples, was not with them when Jesus came to visit them. So the other disciples told Thomas, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and unless I put my finger in the mark of those nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas this time was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and he stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, which is, we know, the Gospel of John. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name, the Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Dear friends, in Christ Jesus, God's grace, God's mercy, God's peace be with us this resurrection day. Amen. Take you on a journey of people who have encountered the risen Lord Jesus Christ. You may ask yourself, why would anybody believe in something so ludicrous that one person, not millions, not even 15, should be specialized and be permitted to come back to live? You see, the Jewish expectation, most of us Gentiles don't know this, that they believed in the first century in Jesus' time that if there was going to be a resurrection of the dead, for those who are on that side of Judaism, Allah, the Pharisees and their followers, they believed in a resurrection of the body. If it was to occur, everybody would be raised at the same time. Can you see a stumbling block for the Jews? Only one person came back alive. Now you go on the side of the Gentiles, the Greeks.
They didn't believe in anything like, this body would live again, give me a break. This body is evil, it's flesh. It's the spirit that will live again, not this body. Can you see their problem with the proclamation? He is risen, the grave is empty, we have seen his body. And how does the early church navigate through those extremes? Except it's real. They were willing to bet their lives about how real it was. Something happened on that resurrection day. It wasn't a figment of imagination. It wasn't a drug-induced kind of fake death and then resuscitated by some secret potion and he came up and walked around. Not at all. The Roman soldiers validated with kind of a seal, this is true, he is dead. We have seen his guts come out of his side. Okay? So, here we are. In the book of Acts, the first reading of the day, we have the experience of the early church. After Acts 2, and Acts 1 kind of concludes, Acts 2 will begin it. The Holy Spirit is poured out on the day of Pentecost, which in a liturgical year of the Christian church is at the end of the Easter season, because that's when it took place. 40 days is our mark for the Ascension Thursday after Easter. 10 days later, Pentecost, the giving of the Holy Spirit. So this is post-giving of the Spirit. As Jesus said, go to the city and wait till the Spirit comes upon you, and then you are sent. Okay. So at this portion here of Acts 4, the disciples have been preaching. People from whether they were Jews or they were Gentiles heard the proclamation that this Jesus, son of David, have fulfilled the laws of Moses perfectly, that he was innocently crucified here in this very city of Jerusalem. We have seen it, and hundreds of us have seen it in this city just 2 months ago. And Jesus was brought back to life on the third day. We're told in the book of Acts chapter 2, thousands thronged to receive and be baptized, to become part of this movement of the followers. I hope you know the history of how we got our name as Christians. The first tag we bore who followed Jesus post-resurrection, we were called the Way. Did you know that? From the phrase where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So believers who followed Jesus were called the Way. Later on in Paul's ministries, we get named the Christians, followers of Christos, Christ. Okay. But as they gathered there, they were not known as Christians. They were Jews. Who were they? Well, we're told in the first chapter of Acts, they had to replace Judas. Bible history. Bible quiz time. Do you know who replaced and filled the slot for Judas? Matthias. Matthias became number 12. Okay? I always like the story how the scripture says how he was chosen. It was not by election. It was not by appointment. It was not by a conference or the consultation of the elders, the other ones. It was by drawing straws. You see, the church actually believed that God could work in mysterious ways to provide for the leadership of his people. We laugh and we scoff at that idea. But the disciples took it seriously and embraced Matthias as number 12. So as the church is doing and prospering and people are hearing the word of God, we're told in this account that they gather together regularly. Not just when they had time, not just when it was convenient. They saw that there was something about the gathering of the saints. I hope you experience that too. When we are together, not only are we stronger We sense the community and the belonging that we have in Jesus Christ. In America, there seems to be this kind of sense, I can be a Christian without you. In the early churches, we need each other. Our very faith is empowered and encouraged by seeing others who have faith too, who have gone through struggles in their life, and they persevere too, just as I do. And we understand that God is at work in all of our lives, not just me, in this me-centered culture. Well, the disciples gathered with the believers at the temple, which I'm sure infuriated the religious leaders one more time, because that's where Jesus gathered too. And here's this little pocket over here talking about a man raised from the dead, which is offensive to the Jews because millions were not raised, just one man. Okay? And of course, the Greeks will laugh it off because who wants to bring this body back? You ever get the feeling, I don't want this body on the next round. I want a new body. And that's what the resurrection will be, a new body, a spiritual body. So they held all things in common. They dedicated themselves to hearing the teaching. Study of the word. It's an element that empowered the early community. It's the thing that brought about change in the Christian church and revival when people dig into the word of God. And I hope somewhere in your busy schedules, you're making time to dig into the word of God. Because you're going to find that this world's going to throw everything at you and false teachings and all kinds of lies. And you're going to say, I wonder if that's true. If you don't have something to bounce against it, you'll fall for anything. The word of God is our rock. It is our salvation. That's the reason why Lutheran churches and other denominations commit to teaching constantly God's word in many and various ways to get people and hook them to study that word. They also have done and dedicated themselves to share their property. Now, some people would say, oh, that's a communist idea. How, that's so left-wing. No. Back off. This is what Christian living is. It's mutuality. As any had need, it was dispersed. The best contemporary word in our language would be socialism. But it really wasn't socialism. There was no government. There was no imposition of how much you had to assess or how decisions were being made. And by the 6th and 7th chapter of the book of Acts, they were having conflicts how this system was going to work. So it's that reality that their intent was good. But like every intent for trying to deal with material distribution, it's flawed by human sin. Okay, I always like Gandhi's statement about there's enough in this world for everybody's need, but there's not enough for everybody's greed. If we could just come up with a distribution system that was fair and honest, that could provide for any in need, the early church at least tried, okay, even if it stopped. And then they were with one heart and one soul. And you heard Psalm 133 this day. It's good when brothers and sisters come and live together in harmony. Nothing fractures our witness to the world as much as division. Hear me. We're compromised when there's divisions among us and we cannot solve them internally. There's a problem. There's a need to live and work in Christian love. I mean, these were normal humans like people in Port Huron today gathering daily and regularly around God's word. We should be able to solve our troubles and our difficulties in peace, love, and harmony. Oh, but you're an idealist, Pastor. No, I really trust the Holy Spirit. They were set up by the peace congregations, disciples of Christ, Quakers, and other groups, and I think Seventh-day Adventists too, that they created ombudsmen and a place for reconciliation. That is a place where there would be a hearing and a decision. What was a fair solution to this problem without going to the courts? The Apostle Paul says, don't go to the courts. It's going to be a bad witness to the community. You can't even solve your own problems. Why are you trying to push something that doesn't work? Okay? To live in harmony with one another. Work out your difficulties as possible. And if it's not possible, then separation obviously has to happen, or we wouldn't be the Reformation Church. We have to realize sometimes separation is necessary. You come to the second reading, which is there on page 8 of your bulletin from 1 John. Now, John the Apostle writes several letters. This is the first of them. He is very strong on the concept of love, very strong on the concept of Christ risen, very strong on living the life, not just talking the talk. So if you look through the reading there in page 8, a wonderful statement. We declare to you what was from the very beginning, what we have heard, that's the sense of hearing, what we have seen, that's our vision with our eyes, what we have looked at and even touched, physical touch, concerning this word of life. This life was revealed. We have seen it. We testify to it. We declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and now is revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship ultimately links back to the Father and to the Son, Jesus Christ. We're writing this to you so that our joy may be complete by your believing. That's engaging quite a few senses. Some people say and take pot shots at Christianity and the teaching about the resurrection. Ah, not many see it. Why didn't Pilate see it? He would have been a believer. Why not the Romans? Why not all the Jews? I'm serious. They wouldn't have believed. Because it wasn't coming on their conditions any more than when they crucified him, right? They would have found some other excuse. They wouldn't even accept the testimony of the others. So, hey, can't shake them. You're not going to join them. So, consequently, he limits his visitation, Paul says, 1 Corinthians 15, to the progressive, finally one untimely born, myself, Paul says. He appeared to me. And then he appeared to 500 at one time, which is not even recorded in the scriptures. That's a lot of visual contact. He indeed was risen, this Jesus. He was not a hoax. He was not a phony. He was the real McCoy. To hear him, when he spoke to John and to the other disciples, peace I give to you. What a wonderful greeting after you have run away as cowards, chickens, and you have forsaken him. Didn't think any of this stuff was real that he taught us for those years. And now it is validated by his resurrection. I want to be on his good side. I don't want to have to fall in the dirt and crawl around to come to the feet of Jesus. And Jesus says, no, peace, reconciliation, hope is given to you this day. Peace be with you. And he says that each time he encounters them in the Gospel of John, in the epistle, and he encourages us to live in that peace. We also say in our liturgy, as well as in Pauline writing, may the peace of Christ that passes all human understanding keep your hearts, your minds, in the knowledge and the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's one of Pauline's statements. Keep your peace that is so powerful in life. And then he goes on to say, I want you to watch your lifestyle so that you don't continue sinning. But rather, even if you do sin, here's our wonderful key of grace. Even if we do sin, we have grace. We have mercy. We have forgiveness in Jesus Christ. It's one thing to be told by ministers or by anybody who talks God's word, supposedly, that you must be perfect, without saying, but none of you can be perfect. We got to understand there is grace. There is forgiveness through the risen Lord Jesus. Then in the Gospel of John, pages 10 and 11 in your service folder, talk about patience. Jesus had it. The disciples had gathered in the upper room that evening as he told Mary, go ahead, prepare a place. I'm going to see you guys. He appears. Evidence, John wants to tell us that this was an unnatural appearance in any other time of Jesus walking in on him, because the doors were locked. The windows were secured for good reason. The very people who killed Jesus 3 days ago might come for us and lynch us too. But Jesus appeared to them in their midst. Not a natural phenomena, unless you found a way to teleport yourself. The reality is, he did what is unnatural to sustain in a visual way that his resurrection was valid. He speaks to them of peace. He also gives to them in John's gospel something Matthew, Mark, and Luke do not do. Just know it as information. We know in Luke Acts account, there was a day of Pentecost, right? 50 days later. In the joining gospel, which is written probably 50, 60 years later than Luke, it all takes place in that upper room. Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they shall be forgiven. You retain the sins of any, they shall be retained. In the Lutheran style of theology and catechism, that's part 6 of the small catechism. This is called the office of the keys. It's not those keys you rattle in your pocket or your purse. This is access to the kingdom of God by forgiveness. And Christ has empowered his church to administer that to his people. Its abuse is historical. But in the true admonition of it, we do it in our worship service. After we have a confession of sin, you will hear an absolution. Usually in the Lutheran liturgy, it'll sound something like this. I, as a minister of Jesus Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins. Depart in his peace. That is to say, the minister of word and sacrament is speaking Christ freedom and grace and forgiveness to you in a tangible way in real time. So when you walk away from the service, you're not asking yourself, but did he really forgive me or not? You trust his word. It is given, as he has said here in the Gospel of John. A week later, Jesus makes a return engagement to catch the one who was absent. I mean, it's not like Jesus sent an invitation that all should be present. So Thomas was absent. Now he's here. And of course, they're blurting out, oh, we have seen him. It's real, Thomas. What the ladies have told us is real. He's raised from the dead. Thomas says, stop it. You don't know what you're talking about. That's not possible. There wasn't a general resurrection, as Judaism taught. I don't believe it. It's not possible. And they said, but we've seen him. And then the Lord appeared to him. Personal engagement. God touches us in ways that is unique to each of us. This morning as I was going through Facebook, my daughter's, Joy's mother-in-law, had the posting of St. Augustine. It's one that I've always treasured. St. Augustine, millennium ago, made this comment. He said, God loves each of us as if if we were the only one here, Christ would have died for us. Do you hear that? God's love is so particularized, it's so micro, not just macro, that he cares for every one of us. Even if we were the only one, he would have died for us. And St. Augustine was right. So when he comes to Thomas, he says, okay, your request, I'm here to show. I like the fact that John never says whether or not he touched him. Because I think, maybe I'm putting myself in the text, that if I saw a dead man standing in front of me with holes in his hands and his side, I don't think I'd want to touch him. I just say, my Lord and my God, with a joyful exclamation. John did the same. I think that was enough evidence. He came through a locked room. He appeared in name and dialogued with Thomas, particularly to address his need to believe and his obstacles to believe. I think all of us have obstacles. Why we can't believe and swallow the gospel and believe all this stuff. Well, take them before the Lord. And in due time, God will work them out with you, not for you, with you. And come to a posture just as John did with Thomas, recalled here. And come with the clearest, what we call Christological statement of who Jesus is. Because there was nobody else who said what Thomas said. My Lord, Adonai, which to a Jew meant the Lord God Almighty Creator, translated into their culture. And my God, whoa, this is not a pseudo-God, a stepped-on model, stage two. He's not the associate, he is God. And so we worship him each Sunday. Amen. And now may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us, remain with us always. Amen. Our hymn of the day is, Come, You Faithful, Raise the Strain.
please rise for our prayers? And Jane will lead us.
Let us pray. Rejoicing in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we pray for the witness of the church, the wholeness of creation, and all who are in need. Holy God, you speak peace in the presence of fear. Give us courage to testify to your grace with our lives. Embolden prophets, preachers, and teachers to speak your truth. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy God, you create peace in the midst of chaos. Where storms rage and winds howl, bring calm. Protect people and animals from the dangers of weather. Restore damaged lands and homes. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy God, you are peace in a violent world. Heal neighborhoods ravaged by crime. Reconcile political factions at war. Build relationships where suspicion keeps us apart, and bring us to the day of unity. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy God, you bring peace to a hurting world. Fill the stomachs of the hungry. Bind up the shattered. Give rest to the weary and hope to the disillusioned. Restore the sick. Especially today, Lord, we ask for prayer for Iris Cook, Marvin Miller, Tony Gaines, Doug Abbott, Jennifer Hudson, Jerry Willer, Jean Klingler, Brandon Durkee, Lisa Slider, Sandy Smith's sister Carol Jaskowski, Matthew Borntrager, the family of Paul Whitmore with the loss of his home and furnishings in a fire, and Robin Bradley, the cousin of Jane Borntrager. We also remember those serving our nation, Lord, here and overseas. Tristan Morrison, Jamie Soulier, Rob Nolan, and those that are returning safely from their service at home and overseas, and those returning into our communities. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy God, you breathe your spirit of peace into us. Enlivened by the Spirit, equip us to bring new life to all we meet in our work and in our play. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy God, you are our peace in this world and the next. Comfort all who mourn. Hold them in your tender care. Bring us all around the table as we share the heavenly banquet. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. We entrust all our prayers to you, gracious God. Receive them by the power of the Holy Spirit and the love of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This day we sing the Lord's Prayer, please.
Thank you.
Please be seated. We receive our gifts for the work of the Lord's church. While we're receiving gifts, remind you that the gifts for the ARC, our community ministry for world hunger through Heifer International, continues. So if you're using a bank method, those assembled banks, and they were easy to assemble. Judy had a little more difficult time, but who's talking about that now? And they are still available, I believe, in the narthex if you need a second bank. If you're doing just a lump sum donation, you can make the check still to Our Savior in care of the ARC so that it gets channeled exactly there. As our sister churches gather the offerings, remind you how well the five Lenten luncheons went. We raised $2,800, five times gathering at St. John for a luncheon that was free, but numbers that were between 85 and 100 in attendance produced over 5 weeks, $2,800. So we encourage you to be generous as all the congregations are being challenged. An ARC, remind you, it costs $5,000. We would not be embarrassed if we bought 1.5 ARCs. That would be a joyful thing for the community, but more so for the people who receive it. Reminder, this is the first mission activity the downtown churches have ever done in 100 years. We are breaking new ground. We wish to continue it. We'll meet in a week and a half to do more planning about National Night Out and many other ministries that are common for us downtown here. And we pray and ask if any of you feel inclined to be a lay representative. This is not just for ministers. Anybody is welcome. Just talk to me and we'll set up the time for you. Also, for those listening on the radio, kind of let you know some of the other things that are going on. We start a new study tomorrow night. It's been a while since the original edition, but he has updated it. The Harbingers. Jonathan Kahn, a Jewish man who converted to Christianity from his faith base of Judaism, an Old Testament, to the New Testament belief in Jesus Christ, crucified and raised from the dead. Jonathan has put together seven harbingers that have taken place since 9/11. Based upon Isaiah, the Old Testament prophet, these are signs, Jonathan submits, which are signs on America, that if this nation doesn't change, we will experience the fate of Israel, the northern kingdom, when God spoke those words through Isaiah. Judgment and a collapse of the society. Who knows? But it's worth bouncing the scripture, considering it. We meet at 6:30 to 8 o'clock on Monday evenings for the next several weeks if that's a topic that interests you. Thursdays, we started a study, but you're free to join us. It's a small group. Each session is capsulized. It's its own thing. So join us for a small group Bible study and interaction with people Thursday nights at 6:30. As I mentioned earlier before service, we have a Board of Education / Youth Committee meeting after this service. Oh, 15th, I'm sorry. I'm all ready to go. Yes, and I even laid the agenda and some things on the table. I'm sorry. Good, fired up. So this week we want you to support us with the egg hunt. So downstairs, as you might imagine, due to temperature and due to the weather conditions outside, mud and everything else, the egg hunt will be indoors. So at basically 12 o'clock. Okay. Many things in your bulletin. I encourage you to read, respond to the ones. Newsletters, some of them got received last week. If you didn't get yours yet, they are at both positions. Pick up your newsletter. I do want to commit before your eyes that I put in the now insert inside portion. Musical, through Lori and the group, have secured a date and a time with us at Our Savior. So for those on the radio, for in-house, the women's chorus musicale of Port Huron will do their spring concert here at Our Savior on a Monday night. The day is May 7th, it's a month away, at 7 o'clock. So please invite your friends and come yourself. Many things in your bulletin, respond to the ones appropriate for you. Please stand as our gifts are presented. We sing our offertory. We are.
Worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church begins each Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM, Port Huron.